This is the Strategic GC, Gartner's General Counsel Podcast.
Making progress on environmental, social, and governance issue goals used to be a nice to have, now it's a must have. A company's reputation can soar or take a nosedive in light of what they do or don't do on this topic. But governance around ESG is murky at best. General counsel can drive their organizations toward a more strategic and results-oriented effort in this space. Here to tell us more about the challenges organizations face with ESG and the influential role GC can play to address them is my colleague, Drew Tannenbaum. Drew speaks to GCs every day in his capacity as an advisor in our legal and compliance practice. He's also an attorney and an expert on this topic. Welcome back to the show, Drew.
Hey, Liza. Thanks for having me again.
I'm happy to have you here. Let's get our pod on. So tell me, is the current approach for organizations to achieving ESG goals working?
I think the short answer is no.
I know we've done some research on how well companies are doing at meeting their ESG goals. Drew, can you tell me what it's found?
Yeah, so, you know, we said that this is hard, right? It's hard to set the right ESG goals. And our data definitely shows this. So, for example, 80% of business leaders that we talk to are still producing ESG goals that are primarily tailored for marketing. So they really haven't moved out of this kind of phase of cosmetic ESG. And more than half of business leaders and more than 60% of general counsel find that it's hard to select the right ESG goals. So we're kind of stuck in cosmetic ESG, and it's hard to set the right ESG goals. And ultimately, the impact of all this is that we have companies that really just aren't setting ESG goals that have strategic impact. And our data bears this out, too. When we polled business leaders, only 27% of those business leaders told us that their ESG goals actually have strategic impact. So a little bit less than a quarter of companies are setting ESG goals that do things like mitigate risks, that actually accelerate the achievement of strategic objectives, that help the business to capture opportunities. So we're setting ESG goals. We're just not setting ones that actually make an impact.
So what's stopping them? Why aren't they making more progress here?
There's a number of different reasons. The short answer, though, is that companies are really failing to ask themselves two essential questions when they're setting ESG goals. The first question being, should we actually set this goal? Does the ESG goal actually drive strategy? Does it help us capture opportunity? Does it help us mitigate risk? They also fail to ask themselves, assuming the goal makes sense, it's something that actually benefits the organization, could we actually achieve it with the resources that we have available to us? And that gets to a number of different things, trying to understand the barriers to implementation, the cost of achieving ESG goals. And while many companies try to get at these questions, what we saw through our research, through our conversations with other general counsel, is that they just don't do a very good job of asking themselves these questions and coming up with good answers.
Got it. I want to get to more of the should and the could. But first, tell me, do executives or GC, do they have a good grasp on this challenge right now? What's their view?
I think a lot of people feel this challenge. So they feel that there's something not quite right about the ESG goals that they're setting. Actually, when we talked about this research with a number of different general counsel in an in-person setting, I remember one general counsel telling me on kind of like the could piece that they had actually set a number of ESG goals as an organization. And then they found after setting these goals that, oops, they didn't actually know how they were going to achieve them. The costs were a little bit higher than they anticipated. The operational changes they needed to make were a little bit unexpected. They actually had to back away from some of their goals and communicate that retreat publicly, which, of course, exposes companies to reputational risk. So I think business leaders, general counsel, they definitely feel the need to be more prescriptive and strategic about their ESG goal setting process, but they also feel that they're not quite getting there.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. So tell me, why does this matter? I think ESG has been around for a while and the ties to the business outcomes always haven't been clear necessarily. So what's so important about it now?
Well, I think we're moving to a slightly new phase of ESG. So the past several years, 5-10 years, have really been a phase of ESG where it's been kind of okay to treat it as this cosmetic, primarily marketing-focused exercise. But we're in a slightly new environment now. We have intense regulatory pressure on ESG. Some of that's coming through evolving reporting requirements. Other is coming through regulators increasingly looking for things like greenwashing in company disclosures. And then outside of regulatory pressure, we have a number of different external and internal corporate stakeholders that are no longer just putting pressure on companies to provide more data and information about ESG activities, but these stakeholders are asking companies to do more. They want them to set goals. They want them to put kind of their money where their mouth is from an ESG perspective. So we have all these forces kind of converging really over the past year or two that are putting companies in a position to need to approach ESG and the goal setting process in a more strategic way.
Tell me, is this just about doing the right thing, or is this also about tying it to business outcomes?
It's definitely about tying it to business outcomes. What we've seen is that if you choose ESG goals that make it look like you're doing the right thing, that respond or maybe satisfy external stakeholder demands in the short term, what that really doesn't get you is true strategic impact. And what we've seen is that ESG goals increasingly need to do certain things, such as helping businesses to mitigate risks. They need to help businesses actually capture new opportunities. They need to help businesses advance other strategic priorities. But the ESG goals that companies are setting are all too often driven by short-term external stakeholder pressure. And when you focus on that pressure at the expense of actually understanding whether or not the ESG goals you're setting are going to drive the things you need within the business, you get this gap that we've been talking about where your ESG goals don't actually help advance the business and move it forward.
And I imagine that GC are feeling kind of flustered trying to respond to so many stakeholder demands at the moment. Is that the case?
It's hard. It's like a veritable clown car of stakeholders. You know, as we keep driving down the road from kind of cosmetic ESG to something more strategic, the car that is the organization keeps picking up new stakeholders. And our data shows this. Over half of business leaders that we surveyed reported that they're feeling intense pressure from three or more stakeholders to do more on ESG. And when I say do more, it really means setting goals, setting meaningful goals that advance the business. So we have this car full of stakeholders, each of whom are kind of screaming very loudly to do different things, which is making it really, really hard for GC, for other business leaders to kind of arbitrate between these different stakeholder demands and really zero in on the ESG goals that are going to make real impact.
Right. So we need to help them get to a more targeted and effective way to deal with this. So what role should the general counsel play in improving the organization's efforts to obtain strategic results on ESG?
That's a great question. I mean, we speak with so many GC on a day-to-day basis on ESG, and we see them taking such different levels of responsibility. Some of our general counsel clients, quote unquote, own ESG for their organizations. Others are playing more of a contributor role. But regardless of whether they own it or have some other role, almost all of the GC that we're working with have a very meaningful voice in the discussion on which ESG goals to set as an organization. So that means that there's a very important and perhaps sometimes unappreciated role for general counsel to really bring this voice into the goal setting discussion to ensure that other leaders within the organization are kind of asking those should and could questions when the business is starting to look at which ESG goals to set.
Got it. So can you elaborate a little more on what we mean by the should and could elements of this?
Sure. So when we think about ESG goal setting, first, it should be a goal that is worthy of the company pursuing. And what I mean by should is it's a goal that does those things that create strategic impact of the goal. It helps the business to mitigate risks. It ties back to other strategic priorities. It's a goal that might actually help the business capture opportunity and drive those business impacts that you mentioned. So the should piece is really about creating very strong connective tissue between the ESG goals that you choose to set as an organization and the other things that are strategically important for that organization.
Can you give me an example of the should piece?
Sure. So what we've seen is that when companies are trying to figure out if an ESG goal actually helps to drive strategy, they do so in something of a kind of leadership echo chamber. So you have the C-suite in the room setting the goals, other very senior leaders, but what you oftentimes don't have is the voices of strategy execution owners, the people who are actually closest to the strategic impacts that an ESG goal might have. So these voices are not in the room when the ESG goals are being set, or they're not given the right weight, which means that the leaders who are actually setting these ESG goals fail to actually consider how the ESG goals will advance, inhibit, or otherwise impact other strategic priorities of the organization.
Got it. Okay. And is there sort of a better way to go about that to make sure that you are making those important considerations and alignments?
Yeah. So we've seen a couple of great examples from different companies that we've done some research on. And long story short is companies need to find a way to more meaningfully and intentionally source the feedback of these strategy execution owners when they're determining which ESG goals make the most sense, so which ones they should be pursuing. So we actually worked with one company who was building out a survey before they set their ESG goals to source the input of the strategy execution owners on potential ESG goals to understand how those potential goals could inhibit strategy, advance strategy, perhaps even understand things that are happening within the business that could contribute to the possible achievement of an ESG goal. That allowed leadership to take all that information back and really understand how potential goals would have very real impacts on other strategic priorities in the organization.
Got it. So GC can help make sure that we've got the insight needed from frontline leaders to feed back into leadership so they can understand how a goal might affect one of the strategic objectives of the company. Is that right?
You got it.
Cool. So could you tell me a little bit about the could part of the equation? What can the GC do here?
Sure. So assuming the goal makes sense, assuming we should pursue it, many companies lack a way to understand before they've set a goal if they could actually achieve it as a business. So here, there's really an important role for general counsel to ensure that first, the timing is right. All too often, what we see is companies set goals and then ask themselves the question of, hey, how are we going to achieve this goal? What operational changes do we need to make? What costs do we need to incur? General counsel need to ensure that that timing shifts a little bit. They need to make sure that leadership is asking the right questions about the feasibility of a goal, the costs and barriers of achieving that goal before those goals are set in stone, before they're communicated publicly. They need to also ensure that the right information is given the right weight during the goal setting process. So what our research found is that when business leaders are setting ESG goals, they give, frankly, too much weight to the things that don't actually create strategic impact. They overweight things like stakeholder demand. They overweight things like the impact on stakeholders of a goal. And I'm not suggesting that stakeholder demand and impact aren't important, but our research shows that those aren't the things that actually drive strategic impact of a goal. Comparatively, they underweight things like, hey, how is this goal going to actually impact our risk profile? What barriers are there to implementing a goal? So they're not giving the right weight to the things that actually help us answer that could question. And what general counsel can do is bring those things into the discussion in a more meaningful way.
So let me see if I have this right. The leadership just doesn't have a good grasp on what the implementation barriers might be to a given ESG goal. So they need a better way of gathering that information and understanding how to appropriately index it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's not just about understanding it, but understanding it at the right time. So it's not really a good position to be in to understand those things after you've set and communicated a goal. And that's what we found is that many people don't find this information out until after they've set a goal. So bringing that stuff to the front of the goal setting process will help mitigate the possibility that a goal actually isn't feasible.
I see. You've got to assess the feasibility before you commit to the ESG goal.
Yeah, exactly. Not only before you've committed to it, but you also need to continue to ask yourself questions about, hey, are there other things going on in the business that might derail a goal? So assuming we've understood that we could achieve a goal before we've set it, after we've set that goal, there are, of course, things that could happen in the business that could derail the possibility that we actually achieve this ESG goal. So companies need to continue to ask themselves these types of could questions even after the ESG goals are set.
So can you give me an example of how this might work in practice?
Sure. So let me give you an example actually from my personal life. So I have an 11-year-old son. He's become something of a sneakerhead, which frankly, as a father, I don't quite understand, but that's okay. He wanted to buy a pair of Air Jordans. And I told him, look, you're 11. You're going to grow out of them. You're going to frankly destroy them. It's more than I want to spend on sneakers. But I said, if you save your money, you can buy them with your own money. So good for him. He started weeding our garden beds and doing other things around the house to try to earn a little bit of money. And he was starting to save up that money and doing a really good job. As oftentimes happens with kids, something else popped up. He wanted to buy a video game. So I had a conversation with him. I said, hey, look, you can definitely buy this video game. You've saved enough money. But what happens is that that's going to probably make it hard for you to get your Air Jordans. So he appreciated that this new expense that he wanted would derail the goal that he had set of buying his Air Jordans. So to his credit, he now has more expensive sneakers than I do. And you know, how does this relate to ESG? So companies oftentimes set these ESG goals and then other things come up in the business. An M&A transaction, a new strategic investment, a large expense. Companies need to also find ways to ask themselves, hey, how will this new thing that we want to pursue as a business impact the ability for us to achieve the ESG goals that we've already set? So they need to continue to bake into planning processes ways to assess the impact of new strategic initiatives and major expenses on ESG goals.
Got it. That's really helpful. So this all sounds like very important work that the GC can be doing, but probably time consuming. Is there any low-hanging fruit for them that they could do in the near term to improve their company's ESG goal setting?
There's always low-hanging fruit. I think the first step is going to be figuring out what ESG goals you've already set. And assuming you've set some goals is really making sure that you've understood these types of questions already. Many companies probably haven't asked themselves these should and could questions as intentionally as perhaps we've laid them out here today. So if you've already set ESG goals as a company, just revisit them. Try to figure out, are there existing ties between strategy and our strategy execution owners and what they're seeing day to day and the ESG goals that we've already set? Do we have a very clear picture of how the ESG goals that we've set will impact our operating model, the barriers that are going to pop up to implementing those goals? And the other kind of low-hanging fruit here is that I know a lot of our clients towards the end of this year are going to be going into planning sessions, strategic planning, et cetera, with other leaders. Making sure to incorporate into those sessions at least a kind of passing analysis of how new planning proposals might impact existing ESG priorities. So that's going to be low-hanging fruit that's going to pop up for executive leaders over the next several months that hopefully they can take advantage of.
So this isn't a one-time exercise. You need to keep revisiting it and make sure that you're staying on course.
Not if you want to do it well, no.
Thanks so much for the really informative conversation, Drew. So here are my main takeaways. GC can and should really help their organizations make sure that they're pursuing ESG goals that will result in strategic impact. And they've got two main ways they can do that. They can help their organizations assess whether they should pursue these goals, whether they're ESG goals that make sense for the organization, and whether they could achieve these goals. That means they've got to look at the feasibility of these goals before they commit to them, right?
You got it. Should and could. It sounds relatively simple. We know it's a little bit more complex in practice, but I think you've wrapped it up nicely.
Thanks so much, Drew. That was a great discussion on ESG goal setting. Now I want to pivot to another interesting topic for some new, frankly concerning data that you do not want to miss, and it's about talent. Joining us to provide this new data is my colleague, Steve. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eliza. It is concerning if you're an organization, but maybe not so much if you're an employee. Many thought the labor market would cool off this year, but that's not happening. In June, 60% of HR leaders thought that competition for workers will be more intense over the next 3 months. That's up from 53% in March. What's worse, 56% of CFOs say that the labor market is undermining their organization's ability to sustain corporate performance. And according to most general managers in the IT industry, a downturn isn't the answer. Instead, they say relief will only come when they respond to worker needs such as increased pay and flexibility. You can read about these insights and more in the Executive Pulse article series on Gartner.com.
Please subscribe and share the episode with your colleagues. Thank you for listening. Gartner Podcasts are a production of Gartner, the world's leading research and advisory company, equipping executives across the enterprise with indispensable insight, advice, and tools to achieve their mission-critical priorities. You can learn more at Gartner.com. All content in Gartner Podcasts is owned by Gartner and cannot be repurposed or reproduced without Gartner's consent. Gartner is an impartial, independent analyst of business and technology. This content should not be construed as a Gartner endorsement of any enterprise's product or services. All content provided by other speakers is expressly the views of those speakers and their organizations.